Messiah's Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of the Messiah's Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Welcome to Mission Watch Live, another Messiah's Branch national satellite radio program. We are broadcasting live from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network. And folks, I want to make sure that you go to AmericanVoiceRadio.com because it is really in a different format. It is what you'd call, well, smartphone friendly. It really looks different. And if you got a smartphone, and I know over 50% of you are listening by smartphone nowadays, go over there and check it out. AmericanVoiceRadio.com. Anyway, today's date is January 7th, 2016. With Mission Watch Live, we are warning the world as it happens. And I want to thank all our listener base out there that is worldwide in places like Australia, Guyana, India, the United Kingdom, France, and that's just to name a few of the people out there that are listening. We know this by our responses that we get and our maps. It's a modern thing. We can tell where people, maybe not where you listen to them live, but we can tell when you download programs and all those other podcasts and all those things. We also want to thank the people in the United States and cities such as Plano, Texas, the Dallas area, Town and Country, Florida, Nashville, Tennessee, L.A., California, San Diego, California, and of course, our biggest group of listeners seems to be, and at least after live radio, is Wichita, Kansas. Anyway, we want to thank all of you, and we are indeed warning all the world as it happens. If you need help with anything after this program, please call me. If you need a prayer, you can call me for that also. If you get the machine, please leave your name, your number, your prayer request, and or message. Remember, you can send a prayer request by U.S. Postal Service. You can send it by email. If you include your address in it, we'll take it to the Mission Church in prayer circle. We will anoint it with oil, and we will send it back to you so you know that we did it. Anyway, pray about it. The phone number, of course, is 620-878-4682, 620-878-4682. And if you get the machine, you need to leave a message or somebody answers. You know, if you don't hear a man's voice, you might hear my wife's voice. I know there's been some people that have called recently that are apparently trying to reach me, but they must be shy and bashful because when my wife answers, they don't say anything. Anyway, don't do that. Answer. In an emergency, my cell phone number is 316-619-4886. You can always find updates for the breaking news, our ministry, radio program archives, and our mailing address at our blog, which is simply prophecyhour.com. Now, our program archives can be found over there. Everything. Prophecyhour.com right now is like a base for all of our ministry thing. So go over there and check it out. And I'm so glad to be back with you folks after being gone a couple of weeks, which because of the various holidays, we were in Wichita at the Mission Church, of course. Anyway, we were at the Wichita Mission Church, and so we were there with the homeless and poor, except for on the 23rd. And I really want to say I was very happy to celebrate my 30th wedding or 30th anniversary, of course, with my wife. And, you know, I'm surprised she put up with me that long. So, anyway, but yeah. So now a prayer, and let's bring on tonight's guest, and because we have a lot to talk about. Dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name, I pray. Father, I pray that radio tonight goes according to your will and reaches the people that needs to, Father. I pray that you will lift everybody, let everybody be able to hear the truth and feel the truth, Father. So please, Father, make this radio program go right tonight. Amen and amen. Okay, our guest tonight, of course, has been on with us many times before. He's most centered on watching Iran, and really, people should be watching Iran with all the things that they're up to right now, let alone with their disagreements with Saudi Arabia. That brings on a whole bunch of other Bible prophecy. Anyway, he's the author of The Complete Idiot's Guide to the End Times of the Last Days, the Watchman Guide series, which includes The Watchman's Guide to the End Times, and a lot of other ones. You need to Google that and check it out. We'll tell you how to find those later. I asked him to come back on and talk about some various things, and he's got some predictions for 2016, but looking back at the conditions of 2015, according to many news sources, the year 2015 was the worst for the market since 2008, a year of economic disaster for America and most of the industrialized world. Neither 70% of investors lost money, according to OpenFolio, an app that allows people to track their investment performance and compare their portfolios with others. U.S. markets finished 2015 in the red. The Dow was down 2.2%. The S&P ended 500 ended the year down 0.07%. You may not understand those numbers, but a lot of the Fed rate resulted in the Dow sinking 367 points. Chinese economy slowed. Oil prices fell. The Greek debt crisis continued. The U.S. 30-year Treasury notes turned negative 2%. 3% Treasury returned 0.11%. The CRB Commodities Index fell more than 23%. One report says 2015 was the first financial system for funds in 78 years, meaning the Great Depression. And now, have you looked at the markets? The Chinese markets are crashing, and even George Soros came out today saying this is the worst thing since 2008, with 2008 starting all over again, with markets just being the beginning of troubles. Almost 2.5 trillion was wiped from the value of global inequities this year through Wednesday. And folks, today is just the 7th. That's 7 days. The losses deepened in Asia on Thursday as a plunge in the Chinese markets just halted their trade for the rest of the day. Wow, there's so much going on. So let's get Watchman Richard Perry on to tell us what he predicts for 2016. Are you there with me, Richard?
Hello, Dan. Yeah, I'm here.
Man,
you had my head spinning with all those numbers, but I do know what you're talking about. I watch the financial markets, you know, a lot, because I see in the prophet Habakkuk, he specifically talks about our creditors waking up and making us tremble in Habakkuk 2:7. And you can see it coming because the U.S. debt is so great. You know, if our creditors ever stopped buying U.S. Treasury bonds, you know, basically stopped loaning us money, the U.S. dollar would have very little to fall back on, and the dollar would collapse. And the Bible says our creditors are going to wake up and make us tremble. And that affects about three of my predictions for this year. The predictions I sent you were for 2016. I believe they will all occur this year. But the first one is the one you and I have been talking about for years, and that's the Iran war. I believe the Iran war is Revelation 6, a red horse and rider war that will take place, and it will happen this year while Obama is president. And that will trigger our creditors waking up and making the U.S. tremble, which I think will cause the U.S. dollar to crash.
Right, right. Yeah, absolutely. Let me pipe in a minute. You know, I said as I was introducing you, give me a second here. As I was introducing you, I said that about you watching Iran, and you know, a lot of people don't have their eyes focused on it, but If we go to war with Iran, that's just going to bring the whole world into it. But, you're looking at it right now. Iran, it started this thing with Saudi Arabia. I don't know who started what. I guess Saudi Arabia beheaded somebody. But that's dramatic, isn't it not? Because I agree with you. If Iran causes a war, it's going to crash everything, won't it? Back
yeah.
In.
Yeah, it all depends. I mean, what I see in Scripture is, think about it. The Bible says in Habakkuk that our creditors will wake up and make us tremble. Well, if you just take a look at who are the U.S. creditors, the number one national creditor is China. About number six, Russia still owns a lot of U.S. treasuries. Number two, I think, is Japan. And then there's a lot of people in the Middle East that hold U.S. treasuries. In other words, there are a lot of nations that loan us money by buying U.S. treasury bonds.
Right.
But the Scripture says our creditors will wake up and make us tremble. Well, the way our creditors would do that is they would stop loaning us money and they would probably dump U.S. treasuries, causing a crash in the U.S. Treasury market and a dramatic drop in the U.S. dollar.
Let me put something in on that. And folks, this is you. He's saying creditors. He mentioned, I wrote down, he mentioned China, Russia, just to name a few, and people in the Middle East. So right now, China and Russia both, China has sent troops too. They're all over there, basically, while they claim they're fighting against ISIS. They're over there siding with Iran. And so, if we went to war with Iran by proxy, we would be at war with these, and these guys own our debt. So that would really make us tremble, seeing how they own so much of our debt. Back to you, Richard.
Well, I think you put it very nicely because, you got Putin and you got, Russia and China in Syria and in Iraq, working and fighting with Iran and the Iraqis against the Sunni ISIS groups. And, this Saudi Arabia and Iran thing is just more of that internal Muslim feud between the Sunnis and the Shiites. But, as you look at the world, you look at the developed world and the developing world, the whole world is in an economic crisis right now. People say that, our politicians tell us that the market's getting stronger, job market is getting better. Well, it isn't really. It's very, very fragile. And anything that would disrupt it at this point, which could send a whole bunch of what they call, bubbles to burst, causing another crash. And Soros, like you were quoting from his article today, he's saying we're at a point where we're seeing the same things as 2008. But he's not right about that. It's actually much worse than 2008. And when this crash happens, we're not going into a recession. What I see happening is something more like a depression, because there really is no infrastructure, no fundamentals in place to catch us.
Right.
We've printed so much money, you can't print more money. If your creditors don't loan you money, you don't have more money funds coming in, and you just try to print your way out of trouble, you just create more hyperinflation. You end up like Germany in 1930s, before the war. It turns into a terrible situation.
Let me say something about the depression for a moment.
Happening.
You hit really hit what really needs to be said, and I need just a minute to address the people. Folks, and other than George Soros, which to me is not the most reliable source in the world, but the point is many others are saying that we will go to a depression, another Great Depression. And what worries me about that isn't even so much about how we can dig out with money and everything, but what worries me is if you look at the condition of the generations of people. During the Great Depression, we still had farm-based people that could could still, even though the Depression hit them, they could still knew how to live. But now I see generations of young people that don't know how to barely strike a match, let alone get along for 2 minutes without their cell phone. And so dramatically, a depression of that sort really, really worries me. What do you think, Richard? Do you think I'm anywhere close with that?
Oh, I think you're right. You're right spot on with that because, like, you know, of course me, you know, I get everything from Scripture. But when this thing happens, you know, again, I keep saying that what I've heard from the Lord is that this is going to happen while Obama's president.
Right.
And that means it's going to happen in the next, you know, 12 months.
Right.
But, and the reason I say that is because is they're the president of Mystery Babylon the Great, the end time Babylonians, is identified. He's personally identified in Scripture. He's referred to as the arrogant one. And in Jeremiah, if people want to look this up, it's Jeremiah 50, 31 and 32. Here's what it says. God says, I am against you, arrogant one. Your day has come. Time for you to be punished. You will stumble and fall, and nobody will help you up. And then God says, Jehovah, I will kindle a fire in your towns that will consume all those around. That's what you're talking about. Because when this thing hits, this depression, how are people going to react? Well, it'll be incredible civil unrest. Of course, violence, because people will have little recourse in terms of how to pull themselves up or grow crops or feed their families or, you know, or provide because unemployment will be so high. And the government, you know, is running out of options because they've been, you know, trying to keep us out of another recession by printing so much money.
Right.
You know, the Fed has, you know, dug us into a great big hole. And there really is no way out. And it will end up being great civil unrest if it isn't a revolution. But the key here, if you know, for your listeners, is before this crash happens. In other words, you're looking at the first 2 days of this year, and it looks like the crash has already started. It really hasn't. I mean, the market is fragile, and there's a lot of things going on, and the market's reacting to those things. But the thing that's going to set it off will be when Iran starts the second seal war of Revelation 6. Iran will start the war. Then the economic crisis will hit. And the crisis will hit so bad that Obama will become the most unpopular president in history. In other words, right now he's still hanging on to something like 40% diehard Obama supporters.
Right.
But when this thing hits, the economy is going to go. There's going to be a war, you know, and he's going to have gotten us into it essentially by messing around and playing games with Iran. Because Iran, they're not interested in peace. They're not interested in even the sanctions being lifted. They're just playing games with Obama. They want, they need, they're going to get their war. God has set them up for this. So
right.
There's going to be an Iran war this year. And as soon as that happens, everybody, you better protect your cash, you protect your stocks because your stock market's going down. Your savings, you know, you're not, if you got $5,000 in your savings, you're still at $5,000, but it'll only buy probably $2,000 worth of stuff when the dollar starts to crash. And then we're going into a Great Depression, and you can just imagine what that'll be like. So, how, you know, prepare for that. But if you're not preparing for this stuff now, this stuff will happen so fast, it'll overwhelm you.
Yeah.
You know, and all you'll have is just, you know, Obama being unpopular and stumbling and falling and nobody helps him up. But this is probably one of the most interesting things for Bible students and biblical prophecy people is there's, you know, I know you and I have talked about this in the past. There's a prophetic parable that Christ told when he was telling the disciples about the time of the end. And he said, at that time, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins, 5 wise and 5 foolish. And they waited for the bridegroom, but he was a long time in coming. And all of them, the wise and the foolish, fell asleep. But there's a certain time in the time of the end, which we're now in, when all 10 virgins, so there was all the households of God, all the churches, and this would include any church that, you know, uses, that professes the Bible, that knows about the coming of the Messiah. It will include the Jews, the Messianics, the Christians, you know, everybody that is using the Bible as their guide. They're going to wake up all at the same time and realize that the time has come and the Messiah is on his way. The Jews will think he's coming for the first time, and the Christians, you know, will know that he's coming back.
Yeah, amen.
We're at the culmination point. We're in the time of the end when all God's things are just going to break out on the world scene. And we're going to see God at work in a mighty, mighty way like we haven't ever seen, you know, in our time. You know, we've read his prophecies and we know the history of what he did when he prophesied things. But the prophecies are right there in the Old Testament prophets, Jeremiah, Isaiah, even Psalms, Ezekiel, all the minor prophets are talking about the coming day of the Lord. And all the churches are going to wake up. Dan, I know, you know, you have a radio show about end time prophecy.
Right.
And over the years, you've had that show for quite a while. And I'll bet you anything right now, your listenership is lower than it's been for some time. It's because all the Christian churches are staying away from biblical prophecy like it's the plague. Because it just scares people and it upsets them and it's controversial. And so all Christian churches are avoiding biblical prophecy about the return of Christ and the time of the end, which means, you know, Christians are not interested.
Right. Let me say something real quick. How can they be interested when the guy that stands up in front of them every week isn't interested and he doesn't want to talk about it? And I think more the reason you get something. I think the reason that he doesn't want to talk, they don't want to talk about it now, is I think that some of them are, because I believe they're not, I'm not saying they're not all not saved, but what I'm saying is they've been preaching something different, but I think some of them are starting to get the unction and they don't know what to do about it because it doesn't line up with what, you know, they've been taught themselves. So they're totally avoiding the subject, you know. We're coming up on a break. So why don't we tell people how to find those Watchman's books and all that stuff and how to find you, Richard?
Okay, simply Google my name, Richard H. as in Harry Perry. Richard H. Perry, P-E-R-R-Y. You Google it, you'll find all my books, you'll find my websites, you'll find my Facebook, you'll find anything, you know, YouTube videos, Richard H. Perry.
Absolutely, folks. We'll come back and we'll talk more with Richard about what's going on and what we're looking for in 2016. You know, Obama's like that old snake, the devil, who's only got a little bit of time, you know, before he gets taken out. And so what's he going to do next? Anyway, we'll be back in 3 minutes.
Dan will be right back.
This is Pastor Dan Catlin, and you're listening to Mission Watch Live on the American Voice Radio Network. Folks, please remember to pray tonight about a donation for our work with the homeless and poor from our mission church in Wichita, Kansas. Now, I know a lot of people right now, they go, oh, I'm going to turn that down for a couple of minutes, but stay tuned and listen to the commercial, okay? Anyway, support us so we can care for the people that the Father sends us. We need your help for food, clothing, hats, gloves, coats, and over-the-counter medications. You know, over-the-counter medications is a big deal. Nobody else in the city of Wichita gives out over-the-counter medications. And you say, well, they can go to the emergency room. Yeah, the emergency room gives them a prescription. Where are they going to get the money to fill the prescription? You got it? So we give out cold medicine. And you know what? Right now, I seen on the shelf when I left, when I was there last, that we have one bottle of cough medicine left. We need it. Anyway, but there's other ways that you can, and especially if you're in Wichita, you know, there's a dollar store over there. Go by and pick up some of that stuff. But anyway, or Dollar Tree, I guess they call it. But there's some other ways you can help. Radio is where most of our support does come in. People listen to radio. They hear about us on radio, hear me talking like right now, and they check us out, and they donate. Now, you know what? For, I'd say, every probably 5,000 listeners, maybe one person will do that. That's just the way radio is, but that's still a good percentage because it's kept us, you know, we've been doing this 16 years. But so in order for us to get more people to donate to support the Wichita Mission Church, what do we need? We need more listeners. So if you share a radio program with other people and encourage them to listen to programs, not only do they get the warning message, but they get the warning message, which is a benefit, and then we may end up with some more supporters. But also, airtime costs money, and so do all the things that focus around radio. You know, we have bills that have to be paid because of radio, like, you know, that cost for the podcast and cost for this and cost for that. Right now, we're in bad need. We need another computer, and I need another screen, and I also need a camera and some things to get set up to do video on YouTube. And really, we need those things. We don't have the cash just to reach out and get it. And right now, I also need people. I need somebody or people, more than one, that understand HTML and basic computer stuff. I have a website at messiahsbranch.org that has not been updated in 10 years. It needs to be moved to a platform that is smartphone friendly, and, you know, it needs to be updated badly. I also need to get I need to be able to understand how YouTube works, in a sense, because while we post some things there, we're talking about doing videos, and I don't understand everything. So I need somebody that's intelligent along these lines that was willing to donate some time and help us along with those. Because, you know, anyway, so pray about it. We get no help from any organized churches or government agencies. It's only folks like you that have supported us and that we're now in our 16th year that makes this mission church work and makes this ministry and radio program work. So why do so many people come to us for help in Wichita? Well, love, that's the first answer. They're treated as family as the second. Beyond that, we don't have any set guidelines like programs. The only programs I have is radio programs. People just walk in the door and ask for what they need, and if I have a way to fulfill that need and I feel led to, I fulfill that need. But if I don't have it, then we pray with them, and which we probably end up praying with them anyway, but we pray with them and try and pray it in. This is why agencies tell all their employees about the Father's Little Mission Church. You see, when guidelines stop them from helping, they send people to us. People who have millions of dollars in their budget send people to a place that has no budget. We are the last hope for so many, and folks, we are responsible to care one for another as we're what? We are brother's keepers. All donations, no matter what size, helps. And the Father notices all donations that come from where? Your heart. You can donate online or by mailing a check or money order, and you can find all that information at prophecyhour.com, at prophecyhour.com. Or you can call me at 620-878-4682. And remember, a lot of people say, well, that's got to do with the end times. Let me tell you what. The Father helps those that help others, and that's a fact. So you pray about it, and now we're back, hopefully, prayerfully. Richard Perry's still hanging on over there to talk with us some more. You still there, Richard?
Yeah, Dan, I'm still here. I'm taking it all in. We left off just before the break, and I was saying how I know your audience is way down, you know, now as compared to what it's been years ago,
mm-hmm.
because the churches aren't touching Bible prophecy. They're not touching the return of Christ. They're not touching the time of the end. But let me add a prediction to my 2016 prediction.
Okay.
In other words, I've got a number of them, you know, which the Iran war, economic crisis. But the biggest one that, you know, us Christians should be interested in is that when this stuff happens, all Christians, all Bible believers, you know, are going to wake up. Now, that's, you know, even the unbelieving people that are in the household of God waiting for the Messiah's return are going to wake up. Everybody, the whole world is going to wake up. Dan, you've been faithful for years talking about the time of the end, talking about the last days, talking about the coming Messiah and his return and the things that would happen when very few people are. And I just want you to know that you've been faithful. If you can hang on for, you know, through this year, you're going to see your fortunes turn, because all of a sudden people are going to wake up and they're going to need to know information, stuff you've been trying to tell them, stuff you've been trying to pass along. They're going to be desperate to know. If your listenership and your, you know, and contributions and the whole part of your radio ministry, if it doesn't increase tenfold in 2016, I will be shocked.
Amen. I've always believed that, you know, first off, you know, my father put, you know, I heard from the Father to do the things that I'm doing, whether it's caring for the people, you know, and radio, the warning message. And, you know, I won't shake from that. But you know what? I have also known that when the time of trouble comes, that not only me, I believe exactly in what you're saying. I know that there's going to be people flocking to us, not only just for help, but help in a physical sense, but spiritual sense, wanting to know information, so on and so forth. I do believe that. And I want to encourage, that, like just as you encourage me, I want to encourage all you folks out there that I know I've got a lot of regular listeners that do, you know, pass on the message, and that you have been trying to warn people. And because you told me, you said, well, nobody listens to me, I'm all by myself, and so on and so forth. I believe that you folks are being prepared so that, you know what, when all of this comes to pass, just like Richard said, we're going to be going like this. There's going to be on your door, and these people are going to be there saying, I remember you told me about this. Please, please, tell us what's going on. Back to you, Richard.
Yeah, it will be amazing. And, you know, you mentioned, you know, I'm not, you know, I'm doing this, you know, I've written a number of books, but my books are selling less today than they were the year before, and less the year before than the year before that. And it's, you know, it's one of the things that the Lord has made clear to me in the call that he gave me is that I'm supposed to give out his warning and his message, whether the people listen or not. Well, it's even stronger than that. God said to me that they will not listen to me. And he said it this way. He said, they're not going to listen to you because they don't listen to me. Well, I'll tell you what. I just wrote this up the other day. In 2003, the God of the Bible was speaking to me, and basically here's what he said. This is fairly short, but it's, if you listen carefully, you'll hear how he called me. God says, Son of man, I have made you a watchman for my people. So hear the word I speak and give them warning from me. But my people and their fathers before them rebelled against me to this very day. They will not listen to you, because they do not listen to me. They are a hardened and obstinate people. But I will make you as unyielding and hard as they are. Warn them to turn to my ways and live, to turn from their evil ways, or they will surely die. Tell them, Yehovah says, I will make your land a waste, and your proud strength will come to an end. Because of all the detestable things you have done. Now, take what I've given you. And then I looked, and I saw a scroll, which he had unrolled before me. On both sides of it were written words of lament, mourning, and woe. My people will come to listen to your words, he says, but they will not put them into practice. When these things come true, and they surely will, then they will know that a prophet has been among them. The prophets have spoken. The prophets have written. What the prophets have said is going to happen is going to happen. But God's people at this point, you know, they're asleep, so they're really having a hard time dealing with any of this. But when they wake up, they're going to have to make a decision. Are they going to do it? Are they going to keep doing it their way? Or are they going to wake up, turn from their ways, and do it his way? The way, because his ways are eternal. They don't change. They never have changed. You know, and this is going to be an amazing year. And it's gonna come to a head in 2016 while Obama's president. There's going to be an Iran war. There's going to be an economic crisis. And all the churches are going to wake up. And you're going to be busy, Ed.
Well,
you're going to be very, very busy.
Well, amen. I do believe that, Richard. I do believe that. You know, I mean, that was the kind of encouragement that the Father put on my heart a long time ago, because, you know, I prayed out, you know, hey, you know, who's listening? You know what I mean? What am I doing this for? Who's listening? You know? And that was my understanding, that, you know, he's just preparing us for that time, you know. We're given the message in preparation ahead of time, and people will point to us. You know, you said something that was really profound, something that I hit on. You know, people talk about how they're going to get the new covenant and the Torah is going to be written on their heart, but they all act like, you know, they act like, that old Torah has been all done away with. The Father didn't say that he was going to change the Torah. He said he was going to take that Torah and change us by putting it in our heart. So it's us he's going to change, not the Torah.
Amen. That's right. You know, just like Christ said in Matthew, Christ said, you know, he says, not everyone who comes to me and says, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Well, if you want to know what the will of the Father who is in heaven is, read the Old Testament.
Yeah, absolutely.
His will and his way is clear for all to see. Unfortunately, Christianity today, we don't read the Old Testament.
Yeah,
we don't know what the Father's will is.
Absolutely, absolutely. His will hasn't changed, but what changes is he sees us through Yeshua's blood, so to speak, now. You know what I mean? And if they want to know what his disposition is, they really need to understand what his attitude is towards sin and all these things. Because I get so tired of hearing people, don't you, Richard? They say all the time, they say, well, this is what I think about something. Well, what about what the Father thinks about?
They say, I know in my heart. You know, something or other.
Yeah.
You know? No, that's the problem, is that, you know, the Bible is very clear. And God is very clear about his ways. And, you know, he finishes up the Old Testament, like in Malachi 3:6, he says, I, Yehovah, I do not change. And in one of my favorite prophets, Habakkuk, about the time of the end, in 3:6, he says, his ways are eternal. In other words, if God's ways are eternal, that means they never change. They weren't from the beginning, even before the beginning, even into the millennium, even after the millennium. His ways will always be eternal. And he says in Jeremiah, prophesying about the time of the end, he says to Jeremiah, don't even pray for my people. I said, when I call for them, they don't answer me. You know, they won't respond to me. They're disobedient. So when they get into trouble and they call on me, I said, I'm not going to answer their prayers. People, if you want your prayers to be answered, do what God says, because he loves it when you do that.
Yeah, amen.
He doesn't like the things that you do that he told you not to do.
Well, you know, Yeshua even said, Yeshua said something, there will be people that come to him, you know, that, and they'll say, well, and he'll turn them around and say, I didn't know you. And why didn't he know him? Because they didn't do the things that he said. And that's the gist
of it.
That's
right.
You know, absolutely.
Christ said, away from, I don't know you.
Yeah, absolutely. The main thing that people can do, you folks, I'm addressing you, the main thing that you can do right now is further that relationship with him. And then if you further that relationship, then you'll know what to do in order of preparation. He'll show you the way. But, you know, you've got to get close to Yeshua first, because he says he'll give you all things that are needed if you just follow him. But you got to do that, you know. You call yourself Christian, that means Christ-like or Messiah-like. If you're not, if you're being Christ-like and Messiah-like, why aren't you being as he was? Why aren't you studying his words? He said he kept all of his father's words, and that's the Torah, so why aren't you? Back to you, Richard.
Yeah, there's so much. I mean, the New Testament's as clear as the Old Testament. I mean, 1 John, 2nd chapter, 3, 4, 5, and 6, it basically says, you know, if you claim to know Christ and you don't walk the way Christ walked, you're a liar. And wait a minute. When you say walk, I hope people don't, you know, when it says walk in the Greek, it means the way you live. If you don't live the way Christ did, and you claim to be in Christ, and you claim to follow Christ, but you don't live like he did, and you go, well, how did he live? Well, every Sabbath, he would go to the synagogue. It was his practice to go to the synagogue on the Sabbath.
Right.
It was his practice to go to the feasts, you know, and celebrate the feast of Yehovah, you know, when they came up. But we've replaced those things with Sunday, the first day of the week, instead of the seventh day of the week. And we've replaced our holidays, which are the holy days, is we've replaced God's holy days with pagan practices of Christmas and Easter and other crazy things. And we do many things like this. In other words, we're not doing what God says. We're doing what organized religion and men say. We've got to learn to walk. We've got to learn to know the Word of God. Well, we've got to read the Word of God first. But we've got to learn the Word of God, and then we've got to be led by the Spirit. I always say, know the law, be led by the Spirit.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely, and you're not going to know him. What you don't understand about you've had Christianity tell you too long that it was going to be put inside of you. It will. When finally the fullness of the new covenant comes, it will be. But it isn't yet. If so, there wouldn't be any sin out there, and we wouldn't be in the position that we're at, and you'd have a glorified body and so on and so forth. It hasn't happened yet. So until that does happen, you need to be in your word. You need to be eating that word. And that's how you will broaden your walk. And believe me, it is not, the word isn't legalistic. It is full of liberty. Wow, absolutely. Anyway, back to you, Richard.
Amen, amen. You know, and understand this, too, because, you know, Dan, I know you and I both talk about coming, the Lord's return and the time of the end and how things will be. And, you know, when the disciples, you know, were asking the Messiah about the time of the end and his return, the very first thing that he said and the thing that he repeated all through his discourse on the time of the end was, watch out that you're not deceived. He said many would come and deceive many. Folks, there's only one way you can protect yourself from the deception that exists within organized religion, and that is to know the Word of God. So when people say things like, well, this year's a Shemitah, and so by September we're going to have a disaster, and there's these blood moons that are happening because of NASA, and in September we're going to have these things. Well, look, September came and went, nothing happened. And if you know the Word of God, you know that God never mentioned blood moons in the time of the end. He mentioned that the moon would turn blood red, but he never said anything about blood moons. And he never said anything about the Shemitah. People just put things in from their imagination, and they start getting all people excited, and people go running around at high speeds bumping into each other, and they don't know what to think because they don't study the scripture themselves, so they're subject to deception.
Right. Absolutely.
I know the Bible, so when these people say these things, I know they're off base, because I know what the Bible says, and I know what the Bible doesn't say.
Right. Actually, when it says the moon will turn to blood, it's not definitive, you know what I'm saying? It doesn't say a red moon or whatever,
oh, yeah.
You know.
No, there is the sign and the sun and the moon and the stars, a very specific time of the end sign. It's the sign in the sixth seal that occurs. It's just before the return of the Messiah. And it's
right.
Only at that time. I mean, you know, there's blood moons and full moons, you know, all year long in different years and everything. But there's only one sign about the that's immediately before the return of the Messiah, and that's recorded back in Ecclesiastes, back in Job. I mean, it's all over the Old Testament. It's all over the New Testament. When the moon turns blood red and the stars and the sun go dark, when they all go dark, that's a
right.
sign just before the return of Christ.
Right, right. And it does. That is the wording of it, you know. And while we can't say, just as a small credit to some of those guys, yeah, there have been some coincidences of some. I don't know if it's coincidences. I really don't believe in those. But things have happened when their blood moon fell on feast dates. I'll leave that up for debate.
Well, you know,
that isn't what we should point
to. And I always say, look, if you know what Christ said, when people say things other than that, you'll know if they're deceiving you.
Right, right.
But you've got to know what he said. You got to know what he said.
I wonder how many people have even...
If you don't know what he said, you're going to be subject to all that kind of stuff.
I wonder how many people have even, that we're listening right now, have even read the Matthew discourse in there on the time of the end that Yeshua gave to the disciples, you know? And if you read that, it's really definitive, you know? Back to you.
It's the best discourse ever. It's the Reader's Digest version of the whole shoot match.
Yeah, I guess
Matthew
you could call
24.
It that. Just like Revelation,
and then, of course,
let me go with this real quick. Yeah. Revelation, folks, is just really the same kind of thing. It's an overlook of everything that the prophets talked about in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, each one of them had a part, and it's putting it all together. But not just, but you got to have all of it, not just one part. Back to you, Richard.
Well, you know,
about a minute and a half.
Yeah, and you know, the more you know about Scripture, the better. Because look at, you know, when the Lord called me in 2003, he said I was to be a watchman. He told me what my assignment was. And then he said this, and I just read it a minute ago from, you know, my recollection. He said, then I looked and I saw a scroll. In other words, he said, he says, now take what I give you. Then I looked and I saw a scroll which he unrolled before me. On both sides of it were written words of lament, mourning, and woe. Well, years after that, over the next 3 to 5 years, the Lord continued to reveal to me from the scroll with the seven seals on it, which are, by the way, the scroll is full of lament, mourning, and woe. But he's explained to me what the seals mean and how they mark our time through the time of the end. From the beginning, which started in 2001, right after 9/11, and goes all the way to the Messiah's return. That scroll, which he handed me and started to open to me, took him years to do it, to teach me, because I was so slow. You know, I kept plugging along and kept learning and listening to what he said. But that scroll with the seven seals, the first four, the riders of the four horses on the apocalypse, you know, that kind of stuff. It's like that's all lament, mourning, and woe. And he opened that scroll for me so I could see what it was, so I could warn his people about what was coming and why they needed to repent and turn from their pagan ways and turn back to the God of the Bible and his biblical ways.
Simple. Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, we're going to have to call it at an end right there. Tell the people one more time how they can find you, Richard, and I'm sure we'll talk again.
My name is Richard H. Perry. If you Google me, or if you want to see what books I have, put it at Amazon search, but just Google me. You'll find anything on Richard H. Perry.
Absolutely. Thanks for being on with me, Richard. I got
to
get out of here, so you be blessed, brother. We'll talk again.
This is going to be a hell of a year.
Yeah, I believe it. And we'll let you come on. We'll mark it as it goes.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
All right, be blessed. Bye-bye. Well, folks, pray about it, you know. There's a lot going on right now. hang on to your hats. Obama's got a year in office, and wow, there's a lot, I think, going to happen in 2016. But in the meantime, please, please, please pray about supporting our Wichita Mission Church. You know, the word says that if given to the poor is like lending to the Father, you know, help the poor. Even and it starts in your own home and extends outward. If there's anything left over, you send it to us because we can sure use it. Always, always, always be a blessing to others. And you must really remember that there is only one God. He is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His son is Yeshua HaMashiach. He gave his life for our repented sins. He rose after, the word says, 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And that was the word that said it, meaning Yeshua is the word. Through him and only through him is the way to the Father. Remember to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, and all your soul. Then love your neighbor as yourself. Pray for the priests of Jerusalem. That's like praying for Messiah's return. Lord our God, Father, King of the universe, ask in Yeshua HaMashiach's name that the Father blesses and keeps you, and his face shines upon you, and is gracious to you, and gives you peace like no one or nothing else can. Until an hour from now, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time for Messiah's Branch.